So let me remind this. So I started by defining the phase base density. Yeah. And our system is at temperature equal to zero, so we should see what's the limit of this. And we know that the energy of the system would not be zero at t equal to zero, right? Because we have electrons, those cannot be at the same in the same energy level altogether. So, an assumption that I make here, and I don't know how to justify, is that at t equal to zero, the chemical potential is equal to Fermi energy. So,
That's the definition of Fermi energy.
okay. So, then you can see that in the limit t equal to zero, this expression gets the phase-space density gets to this number for energies less than Fermi energy and zero otherwise. So now that we have defined this quantity, then we can compute all things here. So the total number of particles will be an integral over the available special volume plus times the integral up to P Fermi, that is the momentum of, why put P squared here, of F, X and P, D3P, D3X. So this integral here becomes actually the volume. And then what I'm going to do with this is transform and write it as p squared dp d theta d phi sine theta. So at the end, these two with this get a factor of 4 pi. And then I have, those are just numbers. Here are replaced here. And then I need to compute this integral. Yeah? And this gives PF cubed over 3.
Or is it just that that's the volume of a sphere?
Yeah, of a sphere of radius PF. And then the number density is just N over V that is equal to,
And what is GS?
GS accounts for so in one microstate you can have two electrons, one is spin up and one is spin down. So GS is equal to 2. And I'm missing 2, so this is might be an 8. Wait. Oh, okay, I have all these numbers. I just write the final thing. length n e. Okay. P cube? No, p square.
No, but three. P cube over three.
The coefficient is three.
Oh.
Okay. That's just, I mean, if you just plug in what you have.
Yeah, yeah, it's three. Yeah. Okay. I got it wrong here. So I do the others?
Okay. Yeah, from a
sure. Yeah. Okay. Someone else wanted to.
Yeah.
Okay, so the energy density.
So this is always a start from the middle board, and then
yeah, and then go
from left to right, and then go back.
I see. Yeah, I use this. So then we can put it up. So this is E over B. And again, we need to do an integral over all phase space of the energy of each microstate times the density, right? So what I have here, let me see. So this is equal to, so I've already done the angular integration. Ouch. And I've already divided the volume. So now I'm going to write this as a function of P. dP. And what I did is I plug this in Mathematica. Mm-hmm. And I got an answer that it was not in terms of logarithm, but it was in terms of arc sine hyperbolic. Okay. And then I look how those two are related in Google and just got the final answer that is there. That should I write it?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
Good. And finally, pressure?
Okay, for the pressure. Though that was maybe the more difficult one. So I got an argument out of the book, Rajchaturi. How to write the pressure. So it is if the velocity of a particle with momentum p, then P.
Well, you can use the definition of pressure, right? What is pressure?
Is n to me.
Is what?
And n times e.
N times e. Wait, okay. So you're right. You're just writing it down.
Is that it? Yeah. It's not this.
No. That would be.
So n times z is how I got
energy density or something.
N times z is what you did for the energy density.
Right. Well, it depends on what you mean by that epsilon.
Yeah.
If that epsilon is the same epsilon you had up there, then it would be
very. Yeah, if epsilon is energy.
That's kind of vague. So what is the definition of pressure? Right. So what do you think is the definition of pressure?
What do I think?
Yeah.
Is the force and area?
Force per area, right, okay. So that's the amount of
but
moment,
when
right.
We computed in the first assignment, we didn't say there was the number density times the for pressure NKT, that's the thermal
right.
pressure.
Right, so good. So that's for an ideal gas.
Yes.
So yeah. Like, we're not talking about an
for
ideal gas.
For statistical definition, it would be the volume or the partial derivative of total energy.
That's another, right, good. So that's certainly one way to do it, is use the first law of thermodynamics.
Okay.
Right, and that would be one way to do it.
But there's a kinematic argument that gets you 1/3 integral
So that would be one way of doing it.
Okay. And so if you let me see. I will do that. V is a special volume.
V is volume. I mean, it could be any volume. So the point here is you have, let's see. So everything is a function of Fermi energy, Fermi momentum or Fermi energy, either of the two, right? So, I guess the question would be that if you change, that's the number density. If you change the volume, the number density changes because the total number is fixed. And then you will calculate how much energy changes if the number doesn't change. So that would be one way of doing it.
Can you repeat that again?
So it's just, I mean, if you just take something like, I don't know, like this laptop and assist the generic gas, and you're kind of compressing it, but the number of particles, number of electrons in it doesn't change.
Yeah.
So the volume times at NE should be constant.
I see.
Right. So that tells you how PF changes. But the derivative of PF with respect to volume for a fixed number of particles. And then you plug that in there. Because
So now you change dV in terms of dN and
right.
for a fixed number of particles and you
exactly.
solve it. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So has
I didn't do it like that.
Okay. So but did you get the right answer?
I got the right answer.
Okay, so let's see then how you do it. Because then I don't think you should get the right answer if you don't do it the right way.
No, maybe I did it the right way, but no. Like maybe I stepped that argument. So, okay. So I say for relativistic particles, so pressure. And then, I'm going to
write. Okay. So that's right. That's also the definition. But this wasn't epsilon times n that you were writing.
No, because I was going to write it like that, and then you said, like, oh, you should have done it with the things before, and I was trying to figure out how.
But there are different ways of getting at the same.
Okay,
so,
yeah, that's how I, this
okay,
is how
so
I
is
did.
V, can you, that's V times P, or?
V times P over 3.
That's a velocity.
Yes.
Okay, good.
3 dP. Let me see if... Yeah? Okay, and then I write B.
I don't think there is an integral over X.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I put it here, but maybe I already divided
it.
Well, there's an integral over X that just gets you a factor.
Yeah, yeah.
But why do you need
that? No, pressure doesn't have volume
factors.
Oh, no.
So
okay, yeah.
So this is the kinematic definition of pressure, right? This is something I think we discussed this in the grad course as well. Well, no, this was the grad. Yeah, you guys are the grad course. So we did discuss this in the course. It's basically so a stress tensor pressure is the diagonal part of the stress tensor. And remember, a stress tensor it was basically how much it's how much momentum passes per unit area from one side to the other. So it would be just VI times PJ. So VI is the flux of the momentum. VI times F times D3P is the flux of the momentum, is the flux, basically. And if you multiply it by PJ, it's the momentum flux. So And then the one third comes because you average over all over i's. So Tij is just Vi times Pj. So, but then if you just look at the diagonal part and I average them because of isotropy, then you get one third from that.
Okay, good, good. Go ahead.
So V is P over E. So this
P over E.
It's P over M.
Oh, okay.
So you got P square over 3, 1 over P square plus M E F. And again, I plug this in. So I transform this, should be a thing, transform it again. So I've already integrated the angular part. And I plug this in Mathematica, mm-hmm. and I got the correct answer.
Perfect.
Good. Thank you. Any questions? Everybody on board with this? Thank you. Thanks, Nati. Nati?
You're welcome.
This is
the end of the time, he will make the same joke.
I wasn't a joke. It's just very confusing at first. Nati.
It's serious.
Seriously, after I say it, I realize what it sounds. Okay, so part B is easy, just deriving the hydrostatic equilibrium. Who wants to do it? Britt wants to do it, right? So you start from the middle one, which is like a start.
Okay, so so we essentially need
a microphone. Print.
Oh,
microphone. Yeah, thanks. I guess they keep reminding us. It's with that next door, so they can keep reminding us.
So we essentially need to solve this equation.
I just realized, I mean, for next time I teach this course, all of these are recorded, so they all know.
Well, you just don't mention it to them.
Yeah, I have to just sit through the solutions for a couple of hours, and if they do this, maybe they deserve.
So we want to solve this equation in terms of essentially our PFs, well, actually our number densities. So then we know that big M equals 4 pi integral 0 to r, rho r prime squared dr, and then rho, I said it was 2 any MP. The 2 is because there's two extra, well, there's two protons, well, there's two MPs in helium, essentially. And so then if we plug all this in...
No, but yeah,
no.
So there's also neutrons.
Oh,
there's
neutrons?
Yeah, twice as many like neutrons and protons for every electron, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Right, so are you saying should that be different?
No, that's right.
Okay.
No, but it's not just that there are two protons, it's just that the mass is... there are four times the proton mass for two electrons. So
oh, right, right, yeah, okay. That makes, yeah. It's a ratio of 2 to 1.
That's
okay. So then if we plug this into here, dPdr is equal to minus 16 pi g over r squared 0 to r n e is a function of r prime times another np r prime squared n e dr n e np. And so then these aren't necessarily a function of r or r prime. They're just a function of r or pf. So then we can bring those out of the integral. So then this goes to 16 pi g np squared n e r squared integral 0 to r. Dr.
So there is no 2 inside the parentheses in that.
Oh, did I already factor this out?
Yeah. It looks like, yeah, because.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good. Everybody's happy? Perfect. Thank you, Britt.
I can do 3, but I don't know what you want to do then.
Well, you could just tell us how to do it and what you get.
Okay.
And do use the markdown because it's in, yeah. On record, derive into the white dot mass for all the internet to see.
So, in terms of solving the differential equation, just really just applying Newton's method to some one end, like a numerical integral at the same time. So, starting with what PF. Prime being equal to 0 at r equals 0,
mm-hmm.
and pf at 0 being some pf naught that
okay.
I give to the argument.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Sorry to be late.
That's okay. Do you have an access card yet?
No, I asked.
I asked somebody to do it.
Yeah.
That's okay. Welcome, welcome.
So. With those two, just you can update PF prime using the exact equation. Okay, so.
You have some differential equation that follows from the one that you have.
Yeah, so P we have in terms of PF, and if you take that entire derivative, you get a single term of. Well, you get that PF prime of R is equal to minus 4G the N of R M E squared. PF. So, where N of R.
The derivative, well, dPdr, if you actually do the derivative.
Yeah.
Everything cancels essentially.
Yeah. It becomes a lot of cancellation.
Okay. Good.
So
perfect.
So this you can do numerically just by fixing a time step or a fixed step for R.
So you solve basically two differential equations simultaneously, one for PF and the other for N.
Oh yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So
the
method I is just the basic like.
Did you do it in Mathematica?
Yeah,
or
in Mathematica. So PF R plus dr is equal to PF of R plus R.
So did you tell Mathematica to do it? Because usually Mathematica has its own way.
No, if you do it its own way, it complains about infinities and it won't work. So just apply Newton's method.
Okay.
How much
is the step, regular step use?
10 to the minus 5 of the radius of the sun.
Okay.
So, well, it actually scales with the
yeah.
PF naught. Because if it's more dense, it needs...
So how do you decide how big a step you take?
It's 10 to the minus 5. Sun and A is... So PF scale is the standard number density of electrons is about 10 to the 36 per meter cubed.
Mm-hmm.
So using that, you can back calculate a approximate starting value and use that for this. And so this scales, the more dense this is, the smaller your time your step is.
So your time and step is related to the density of electrons.
This is your like initial parameter. So it's just like if it's more dense initially, you need this shrinks faster, and so you need a smaller step. Otherwise, you'll just overshoot.
So your base. Sorry, I don't understand. So you have an. So you plug that in P prime 0, like the first step,
mm-hmm.
you assume PF being constant in 0 to some.
Oh, so okay.
I don't understand.
So this part is also done numerically. So like this will be from 0 to, you go from 0 to dr, and then just add the next section to the next step, so you'd have and
it's just like rectangular.
It's just like a rectangular method of an integral, and so you'd evaluate this at that step and then add it to the previous value, and then just have that update, and then so you update this, then update this, and then go back to this, and when PF is less than 0, return n of r times 2nt.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, just n of r, it will be over m sun. And
r
over r sun.
So, okay, so can you like draw what you get?
I don't wanna overstate it, but yeah. And this is M. This is R. And this is I get about 1.25 M sun.
And what?
The traditional limit is 1.4.
So did you play with any number, any of like your timer steps or radial steps in the
gesture? Yeah, I changed the radial steps until this doesn't change.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I think it's just like a small factor of something that gets.
Well,
I'm also using first like two first order.
Like how many steps are there from throughout the star?
At least 10 to the 5.
So yeah, so it's a bit surprising that this error is bigger than, I mean, because this is like a 10% error in the mass, right? So
I think if you add the second order term here, then it probably would get you.
But I mean, it just in decreasing dr should be equivalent to adding the second order term. Or just if you just decrease dr enough that so that it doesn't change, then it's a bit.
Because the thing is, as you decrease dr, the error in this also compounds in here, right? Because you're assuming this. I think they're just errors. Don't even if as you decrease dr, there's a point where it just doesn't affect it.
So, but you think it's errors that there isn't that 1.2. Your 1.25 is different from.
I think so.
1.4.
That's my
best
guess.
So what do you guys think? I guess the rest of you haven't done this, right? So how about the three of you guys?
Well, I have a different equation. I think I have PF to the power of 4 over there.
P to the power of 4? Which
PF?
Oh, yeah. I have a PF
this
to the power of 4 and a PF to the power of 3 here, and the PF cancel. Because there's like an N bar here. And
I
so
okay.
The PFs cancel
okay,
to get you that.
Okay.
Yeah, initially it's like PF to the 4 PF prime over E. And then this will E, and then the others cancel.
I got, we sort of worked together on this. Well, he helped me code it, but so we got relatively the same stuff.
So you got the same stuff?
Yeah.
So
here's actually,
1.25 solar mass is what you got as well?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, like 1.25 and then some more decimal places. But
if I also, like, I noticed, like, if I fiddle with my constants a little bit, like, if I initially have m sun as being 2 times 10 to the 33 grams.
Right.
And if I make that more accurate, it shifts that up a little bit. So, like, there's, like, it's slight.
Yeah, but that's like a 1%, less than
0.1%.
Because the actual mass is like 1.99.
Yeah, 1.98.
Okay.
I think you should, maybe there's, like, when you change from that units to electron volts,
I use GeV for everything.
That's why when you change meters and all that in GeV, you might be, you know that it has conversion from like 1.9.
I use
maybe
three decimal places for all my
for all the conversions
at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when I had the same problem, I was getting a bit less, and then I put them more accurate, those changing of units, and I got 1.41.
So did you do basically the same
No, I solved the second order.
You solved the second order.
Differential equation.
Did you use Mathematica or
I used Mathematica.
You just told Mathematica to solve the second order.
Yeah, basically for each point that you want on your plot, like m against r,
right,
you need to solve a differential equation.
That's
because
right.
You're varying that PF not over there.
Gotcha.
So what I did is to avoid numerical errors, like rescale everything at the very beginning, like sun, my sun and our sun.
That's right.
And
I see.
And then for each point that you want on your plot, you need to solve the differential equation.
That's
because
right.
Basically what you're doing is changing PF not because you're changing R, you're changing the edge. So you're changing PF not.
So the other question, I mean, maybe if you went to a smaller values of R or larger central PFs, I'm not sure that would that maximum
The PF not varies to get all these points.
That's right.
Like,
so larger PF not presumably is a smaller R.
Yeah. larger PF knot will collapse.
Do you know if you make more PF big, PF knot bigger and bigger, would you get that the maximum that you get?
Mm-hmm. It cuts
just
off
become
there.
Flat.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay then. Sounds good. So I guess it seems that there might be something numerical that's not quite working. I'm 100% sure what it could be.
It's like if it's a constant or something like that, it has to be off by
10%.
Like 10%. So it's like I'd have to be recording it 10%, like exactly, or like on the order of 10% off. So it's like it's not a huge factor being missed.
Yeah, it could be just like some number in your second digit that's been misinterpreted or something like that in one of these
algorithms.
Otherwise, everything seems to be reasonable. Yeah. And okay, so everybody agrees. Perfect, thanks.
I'll just hand this to them.
Right, so you can just leave it there. So the next assignment is, so perfect. So I think everybody, you're happy. It took a while, I guess, to do this because of the numerical, but I guess you guys got it. Thank you. So the next assignment three, is supposed to be easy, much easier than this one.
It wasn't?
Okay.
I didn't get it.
I remember last time I did this course, everybody was complaining so much about this white dwarf, so I decided that, okay, I'll give them something easy that they cannot complain about. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure whether that I was very successful at that. Okay. So, who's gonna, let's see, so everybody is, so Sarsan, it should be you then. Everybody else has talked. Right? Oh, sorry, Chimaka, I guess.
Yes, I have.
Okay, so, so maybe, whoever, so that I have two things, part one and part two. So,
go for part one, I'll go for part two.
Okay. Chimaka,
there's nothing to do in one. It's just a plot.
Chimaka was hiding behind you. Great, sorry. Let's see. Okay, Chimaka.
I don't have anything for you.
Don't have anything? Okay, so just put on the microphone. So let's see what's part one. So plot the emission line profile for the lamina alpha transition of atomic hydrogen oscillator. Right. Okay, so you're going to plot it for us, right?
So
yes.
So this is.
No, that's the tough one, right? You have to actually do the convolution.
The convolution?
The convolution, yeah.
The convolution between the natural and the...
Right. What is it?
It's in the book.
Okay, so then plot it. Wow.
No one has the book yet. I do have it.
But not with these temperatures.
Yeah, but then I have the plot with those temperatures.
Okay. So if you have the plots in front of you, just draw them so that you could see like the different features. So tell us how you did the convolution. What is U?
U is omega minus omega naught, omega naught times U V naught.
Okay.
V naught is 2 kc m squared.
Okay.
And omega naught is 2 pi f, where f is the frequency of the Lyman alpha line.
Mm-hmm.
2.46 times 10 to the power of 15 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
So if it wasn't for the natural width, then these all should be the same. Should be the Gauss, should be just the Gaussian. But the natural width makes it wider. Okay.
Not so much different.
Why is this negative? Or this is log of that?
Yes.
Yes,
okay.
Minus
log.
Oh,
sorry.
Log
it's
of
the
five.
Log of that.
Like just log of five. And then u, that the u is not log, that's just log. That's u.
Yeah.
That's u.
Okay, so this should be a parabola, right? The, if, until it hits the natural.
That's what I got, actually. A parabola.
Okay, so it looks a bit different, so.
So close, but it just.
So can
yeah,
I?
Yeah, it's not like.
It's
like,
not like curve.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just like that.
But what's the difference between this?
It's there's a breaking point.
No, I think it's just that's fine.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, good. So the point is that the smaller the temperature, the earlier the transition from the Gaussian to the natural width,
yes.
To the Lorentzian, right?
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Okay. The small temperature, the natural width is more important. But even for very small temperatures, I mean, you first have the Gaussian and then the Lorentzian. Okay, good.
I just had a question, not for Chimako, but for you. Because in the book we had like an integral that is a bit complicated, and we tried solving that.
So this would be a convolution, right? So we have to convolve the Gaussian and Lorentzian.
Exactly.
Right.
So we had to go into another approximation for different values for u so small or u so big to be able to determine if it's a Lorentzian or a Gaussian.
Well, you could do that, or you could just do the integral if you could do the integral.
Yeah, you do the integral, you get lots of oscillations.
Well, yeah, the integral didn't work for me, and so I did the approximation method.
Me too.
So you guys just
did the void profile?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was trying to do it without using the void profile, and I couldn't get...
You get oscillations at this point.
Yeah, I get oscillations on the
whatever. Well, like, I was
guess.
Getting, like, things that weren't even looking...
Well, I think you get oscillations up there because it's very dependent on your step size. So as you get closer to, as you get closer to zero, if you need to sort of dynamically reduce your step size or else you're going to...
The smaller you make it, the more
the smaller you make it, you will notice that the noise is actually not in the Lorentzian part,
yeah,
but in the Gaussian
part.
It's
in the Gaussian
always,
part.
Like for any temperature.
So this is because
so,
you're dealing with this exponential that
yeah.
gets very
yeah,
small.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is not a fundamental. This is something that you should be able to figure out how to do, right? But you're just relying on Mathematica, and Mathematica is doing something that's stupid.
Even
but
if you do it
smart.
On Python, you get the same.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think they put the same thing because you just call integrate from somewhere.
But you can do the integration yourself.
No, the problem is like we didn't like cut the exponential when it gets.
That's the only way I would get results is if it truncated the exponential when it went to underflow.
Okay.
But
then do you get something that looks
nothing that makes sense.
So what? Okay.
And I was frustrated by that.
Did you get my email earlier?
And I also tried doing a
when
series
I,
expansion
yours,
of the
sorry.
Integral, so in a small and large u,
mm-hmm.
and trying to integrate that, so it doesn't deal with the exponential, but I wasn't getting that shape.
Well, you know the approximation, of course, is not exact, but you're saying we get something crazy if you...
Yeah, like, I get something like that and like that for different approximations. Like,
okay.
For large U, I get the correct thing,
mm-hmm.
but for small U that I should get the Gaussian thing, I just got this.
The small temperature, you mean? Or
no,
small
U. I expanded it.
A small U, okay. For a small U, you get something else.
Like, It doesn't look
okay.
to what it should be.
Okay, so is it fair to say that nobody then managed to solve this problem?
We solved it.
Well, no, that's the solution, that's the approximation, not the...
That's the only way you're going to do it.
If you don't do the approximation.
So where do you think the people who did that approximation got that approximation from?
They did a small U expansion and they did a large U expansion and then the sum put of them together.
And then how would you know whether it's a good thing in the middle? I mean, you actually have to do it numerically and see how good it feels.
No, you have this, you have a shape that looks like this if you do it, but it's just like you get oscillations.
Like when I truncate it, I get like a spike like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you need to change the axes on your graph.
But what
so
you
can
plot there?
No, okay, my axes,
yeah,
my axes here are in terms of u. But
is it log
is
phi
it log
versus u the same thing?
That's
okay.
Omega, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, if you plot it as a function of omega, you get that.
No, right now it's in. Not it is a function of omega, not a function of u. Though.
Yeah, that's what you get.
Okay.
So it's fine.
Okay. I'll
yeah,
agree,
it should be a spike. It's a line.
Yeah.
So it's a Lemmensian line. Okay. So
this is just half of the spike essentially.
Yeah.
Yes. This is half of it.
Mm-hmm. And it's as u variable.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice. They have to do the units correct. Okay. So. Okay, so that's another one. Thanks, Chiamaka.
Welcome.
So did somebody else, I guess, Sosan, you're next. Thank you. And while you're sitting up to Michael, could see what he gets.
I just have
to
do
Okay.
Mm.
Is this working?
Oh, yeah. It should be honest,
yeah.
I think.
So, my third question was like so simple. They just asked for the ratio between, the decay rate and the rate for collisional excitation. Both expressions are given in the book. Should I say where exactly? Or?
You can write on the formula.
Sure.
So there must be one board that's free. I think if you just push those two up,
okay.
The second one up as well. Right.
Okay, so the decay rate, we already used it in the question number one, is given by 2q squared omega 12 squared F12 divided by 3mc cubed. And then the collisional excitation rate is CIG given by this complicated formula. So this was a bit hard for me to work on, so I just looked at the more simplified version of it, which is this one, the 2 n e over kbt. Obviously used it all. Where the sigma ig of E is actually The gravitation, the g 6.67 10 to the minus 11, the gravitational.
G is So Cij is the
ratio. There's no gravity here.
Oh, yeah.
Cij is the transition rate from I to J. There's also Cji, which is the transition rate to J to I. And then the ratio, like G gives you the ratio of the transition rates.
That's right.
So can you write the definition? I guess it must be there in there.
The definition of G?
Yes.
I don't believe it exists here. I saw some numerical thing, but it was too late for me to just check that it's correct.
Do you guys have the definition of G?
Yeah, I have it.
It's not the same G. I took it of this one.
Yeah.
It's not the
same. What are we talking about then?
We're talking of the G that comes in those cross sections.
The J is on the
can you scroll down?
This.
It is a numerical constant, and it doesn't tell you what it is.
Yeah, it doesn't tell you what it is. It's related to...
It's not mentioned anywhere?
No,
it's not. That's why we couldn't do it.
Okay.
That's why we did it. We have two tons of expressions.
Our F is an oscillator strain development, and it's a numerical constant. Okay. It's a numerical constant, then. Let's say it's a order one.
Yeah.
I guess usually that's what it means.
Is it of order of one?
Well,
sure.
If it's of order of one, why would we use it?
Well, if it's not exactly one, I mean, the quantum depends on how precisely you want to do this. So I guess here I want you to estimate order of magnitudes. Right?
We'll go to one, sorry.
Okay. And I mean, this makes sense. This cross section is just pi a naught squared is the Bohr, the Bohr area. A naught is the Bohr radius, the size of a hydrogen atom. And these other constants, what are they about? They just, I guess they have.
Oh, yeah, I can give all of them. A0 is actually h bar squared divided by n.
Right. So that's just the Bohr radius. I guess I'm just thinking, what about the energy dependence on energy?
Those two?
Yeah.
So you want the E0 and the E1 too? Or
I guess I just want to physically understand where that comes from.
That's what I didn't do.
So Eij is the ionization energy, So it's the transition energy. And what is E naught?
So E naught is a half of mv0 squared, where the v0 is the square root of 2 kBT divided by m.
Can you write it down?
Sure.
Okay. So E naught is the kinetic energy of the and V naught is I'm sorry, and what is V naught squared?
If I got it right.
V naught's
don't tell me it's not this one.
V naught is the minimum velocity you need to have in order for the transition to occur to happen. So you're assuming
that was E I J.
For me, E naught is the
I'm writing the EIJ, I'm sorry.
E naught is the ionization energy.
Yeah, well, so the E naught is actually m q to the 4 divided by 2h bar squared.
Oh, you're talking about E naught, not B naught. Okay. E naught.
Yeah, this is EIJ.
Yes.
But it's E naught.
That's E naught.
That's, this is the E naught.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay.
And then the EIJ is the half of...
That's just a transition.
Yes.
Is that right? Oh, that's the definition of V-naught. There is no V-naught anywhere else, so this is just the definition of V-naught.
CIJ goes from V-naught to...
Isn't he defining the V-naught?
Because how they build it is they said the atom was collisionated with some other
atom, right?
And
or electron, I guess, yeah.
And the target has velocity V naught, that is the minimum in order to induce the transition from I to J.
But then if he has more than V naught,
it happens more than V naught, it happens that it contributes to Zij.
But
yes.
If it's less than B naught, then it has not sufficient
because there isn't
energy
enough energy to excite.
Exactly.
But U12 is a constant.
What?
It's a constant.
What is a constant?
EIJ.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
we
for
yeah.
this case, it's E12, right?
Yes.
That's right. So EIJ is a constant.
So B naught, say that EIJ is equal to the kinetic energy that the target, like the atom, needs to have in order to induce the transition.
And what is a small m there?
It should
yeah.
be the mass of
but I'm saying that
the
electron.
Mass of electron.
Yes, and
yeah.
the bit well.
The minimum velocity
yeah.
that we can have.
Yeah.
It has more velocity,
yeah.
it will have more than enough energy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got it wrong.
To transfer to.
Okay.
I have a question. So while I was doing this, I saw a sigma ij for two different transitions. One of them was a forbidding, and the other one is a permitting.
Correct.
I really don't know the difference between those, because they said something like you can have both forbidden and permitted
right.
contributes to the Lyman alpha transitions. But I used the permitted, which is this one.
Mm-hmm.
But
the forbidden is much smaller. So the typical F for allowed transition is of order one. It's like isoelectric strength. So the forbidden ones, then it's much smaller F.
So the one you gave us was for permitted.
I think that the main thing is the permitted. So for this one, we're talking about the permitted.
Okay.
I actually didn't know that there was a forbidden contribution for Lyman alpha. There's,
where have you seen that?
I mean, Lyman alpha is
maybe it's
permitted.
Not, but this is for any transition going
this
to
is for
any
I
to any j.
Sure, this
so
is in general true.
This is general.
But you have two different sigma ij's.
Yeah, but Lyman alpha maybe doesn't have a forbidden one.
I tried to Google the difference between forbidden and permitted, and that's why I saw that you can have both permitted and forbidden.
For Lyman alpha?
Yeah. And so I got
For Lyman alpha?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe there's like Lyman alpha, there's multiple, there's a finer structure for it. Maybe that's
well, isn't the definition of the forbidden transition like something that you can't do in the lab?
No, forbidden is something that you need like more than one photon to do it. So the idea is that if you have a regular transition, you go from the excited state to the ground state to lower energy state, and you emit one photon, and the photon has some angular momentum, right? It has an angular momentum, h bar, which is the angular momentum of the photon. So, for example, if your excited state and the grounded state have the same angular momentum, then you cannot emit just one photon, you have to emit two photons, right? So that angular momentum cancels each other.
Yeah.
Or there might be some other symmetry that prevents it. So then you cannot just do a single transition, it should be a higher order transition, like two photons or something. Or it could be like a quadrupole radiation is another. I don't know if the two are the same. Yeah. I think usually there's a dipole radiation, but some transitions there is no dipole. That's another way that would be forbidden. So then you have to do that as a true quadrupole, but then that would be a smaller effect. Causes
yeah.
sort of B over C squared or something, causes B over C to the fourth. So those would be forbidden. So things that the oscillatory strength for them is not of order one, but just smaller by some parametric factor.
Right.
Those would be forbidden.
So it's a small correction to Lyman-alpha.
I think yeah, for the things that are permitted, so I guess the Lyman alpha, there is you can go from 2p to 1s and from 2s to 1s. And maybe they're both called Lyman alpha.
Mm-hmm.
But then from 2s to 1s, I think it's forbidden.
No.
Because they both have zero angular momentum.
I see, yeah, you
right.
cross, remember crossing
mm-hmm.
the S and P table.
Yeah. I'm not an expert in this, but yeah. I mean, these are things you can look up. Okay, so thank you. So you're going to finish this story.
Yeah, so I just replaced every parameter in there by its expression.
Okay.
And I got, can I write here?
I think there's another board that might be free underneath.
Oh,
that'd
be perfect.
Right,
yeah. So I just got, Cij as equals to 8 over square root of 3. Mm-hmm. but yet I'm not sure of my calculations and simplifications.
So what is that exponential of a small n divided by capital N?
Okay, so it was exponential of minus e, the integral of eij, from eij to infinity of the exponential of e divided by kbt.
Uh-huh.
If then we do this integral, we get kbt exponential of eij over kbt, and then we replace the eij by its expression, we replace v0 by its expression, it simplifies.
So you have a different definition because I mean that's just one thing. EIJ, we cannot replace it. That EIJ and KBT, they're both given, right?
Yeah, but yeah.
EIJ is just the transition energy, which is, I don't know what.
But then again, I use the V0 as equals to 2 KBT divided by.
Oh, so you use a different V0 that. So your V0 is different from the one that's written there?
Yeah, I guess. Like,
okay.
No, the V0 I got is this. Square root of 2 kbt divided by.
So that's the thermal energy, not the.
I guess I messed it up. Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. Good. So what did you get?
So when I did the gamma over cij, I got omega 1 2 squared divided by mc cubed j q squared. E M divided by big M. M K V over 2 pi to the 3 halves.
Mm-hmm.
1 over T minus 3 half. And 1 over N E.
Right.
The constants that I used are technically.
Other?
Well, at least 2 of them are wrong. I know now.
Did you get a number?
Yes, I actually got 3.15, 10 to the 4, t over 10 to the 4, 3 half, over 3 half, and then n e per centimeter cubed to the minus 1.
Should be centimeters and minus cubed?
Sorry?
Should it be per centimeter? Oh, no.
It's like minus
yeah.
1, so it's
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
What do you use for G?
I use the.
So that's the obvious thing. So instead of 10 to the minus 11, we use 10 to the of order 1. So that this goes up by. But actually, I don't know if it did. This becomes a smaller, I think, if we use G plus of order 1. All right.
Yeah, because you have to divide that by 10 to the minus.
What is M and B?
Yeah, what is M?
The one of the. I guess it's for the hydrogen. It's like I think I'm using it, the big M as the mass of the hydrogen atom, which is like close to MP.
Okay, so good. So this is one. I mean, I think that.
But then again, exponential of M over M here, even if you use M of electron and proton, it still goes to almost 1.
That number is the order of 1. That number doesn't.
So yeah, doesn't matter what you use.
I don't know.
The thing that should make a big difference is the number density that. Let me see, actually, so what is the number? Yeah, the number. So somehow, basically that should be the reason that this is, I mean, I think the idea is that this is going to be bigger than 1, but it's going to be much, much bigger than 1. I think it's more than what you've got. And I'm not quite sure if you use the right G.
Yeah, I use the wrong G for sure. But then, I'm not sure that you agree for the V0 I use there.
That's just changed the thing for order 1.
But then if you want to do that, why don't you
not very much.
EIJ.
It was 4 a.m.
It's just.
I technically think it was like, just do it.
No, I'm just saying that EIJ is the same thing.
This morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying that.
This is what happens when you do things like last minute.
I wasn't. Well, I was working on it for a week, for more than a week now. So.
Okay.
I guess that.
So. Okay, so let's hear somebody else. Let's
sure, that would be perfect.
Thank you. Great. You had the easy one last time, so do you want to present your solution?
Sure.
Are you talking about? No.
Thanks, Sasan.
He's not letting me against you.
Yeah, I am.
It's at you?
Yeah, it's against you.
Oh, but you.
Yeah, I think we kind of exhausted all the boards on this side. And please put on the microphone.
Yeah,
that's it. I think the boards on the right are kind of.
Yeah, you have one free there.
Empty.
Why?
I don't think we get this one.
So, Michael, did you manage to get your line profile right?
Well, like, it doesn't match what that is. There's something. But, it complains for some reason that. So, e to the minus q squared over some constant plus q minus u squared. Mm-hmm. Apparently doesn't or returns non-numeric values for q's within the bounds of negative infinity to zero, which doesn't make any sense because it's still
okay.
Strictly
well,
number. Yeah,
I don't know. You guys need to get your mathematical. I don't really know.
I don't know.
I'm trying to run it again in Python right now.
Good. Okay.
It's
that's better. It's
trying.
Do something that you understand. That.
Yeah.
I mean, the mathematical is a black box. So unless you know what you're doing, then it can give you crap and. Yeah.
So,
Integration Python is a black box.
Hmm?
Integration Python is a
black box.
Well, I'm not using it. I've got my own integral.
Oh, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So, I use the same gamma. Gamma is.
But you don't have to write it down yet.
Yeah, 2 q, et cetera.
But
then I sort of did a similar thing here at the start, but then I sort of deviated.
Right. So those are, I guess, presumably the same formula.
Right. So what I said was the collision rate should be the number density times some cross section times the velocity.
Is that correct?
Well,
that's
I'm gonna do some
right.
Other stuff.
That's right. Yeah, good.
And so then I also said that sigma should be about it should be of order the square of the de Broglie wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be proportional to like pi m squared, which is going to be equal to pi h bar squared over 2 m squared v squared.
So that one is. I'm not sure why that's. So that could be an overestimate.
Yeah. So I took this from the book. It's in the same section as this stuff. It said that cross sections should generally be of this order. And then it did all these calculations.
I mean, I think the cross section is at the maximum is of that order. That's like kind of the. There are some theory that says it cannot be bigger than that.
Okay.
At least for particles, it cannot be bigger than that.
That's for the forbidden transition.
It is?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, this is what I used, so.
Okay.
And then this velocity, I want to sort of convolve it with the Maxwell distribution. So then. It's just going to be integral, the hydrogen number density, pi r squared. And this is, the v's here sort of cancel out to get you 1 over v, at the v dv, where...
D3v or, oh, they're just dv?
Yeah, just dv.
Okay.
And so then this goes to
yeah.
H pi h bar squared over 2 m squared integral 0 to infinity of square root m over 2 pi kvt cubed. It's 4 pi v e to negative m v squared over 2 kvt. So then this, oops. It's running higher.
We could replace those two. Put that up and bring the other one down.
Yeah.
Or you can use another board.
Well, I just want to raise the tire so it's easier to write on. So this is what I get. This is just sort of, you know, plugging this into this where FV is the Maxwell distribution. Then I get C is equal to, after I do this integral, is NH h bar squared pi.
So let's, by the way, speed up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Try it out in 10 minutes or so.
M cubed KBT. 1/2.
Okay.
And then gamma over C Q squared omega 1/2 squared F 1/2 over 3 C cubed NH H bar squared root 8 M over pi KBT to the 1/2.
Okay. What happened to your exponential?
This exponential?
Yeah.
It went away when I integrated.
I see. So you didn't assume it has a minimum velocity for excitation?
No.
Okay. So that could make a big difference, I guess. Sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Because especially when you have low temperatures.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 10 to the 4 Kelvin, so it doesn't make too much of a difference, but there's still a low temperature. Okay. So what is the number that you get?
I didn't really do the conversions right, and I don't think I got a number.
Okay, you think
this is sort of like my final.
I see.
Okay,
so did anybody get an answer?
Because we didn't know the value of G, I didn't compute it.
Well, you could just leave it as a free number.
Yeah,
it turned out to be a word of one, so it shouldn't make a difference.
So, if you check,
I can do it.
I'm checking them right now. Because I don't have units of
math. G, you mean? Does your C have
units
of
C?
So, did any of you guys get a number? Michael? Chimaka? No? Okay. All right. So, this should be. Okay, so let's just do the estimate very quickly then. So, I can do it now. Should I do it next time? Yeah, well, let's just do it quickly. I mean, this is easy, right? So, what is gamma? What is the time? So, let me just use another board. Or shall I let you guys do this? Can you do this yourself? Yeah. No, the number for this ratio, because it seems that everybody knows how to do it and how to do it, but hasn't done it yet. Okay.
You want us to give you a number?
Right. Okay, so why don't you guys do it and figure this out? If you want to submit the assignment again, you're more than welcome.
So you don't have a
video. So maybe you gotta do it today. It seems like nobody managed to do it right, but then if you wanna do it today and over the weekend, it's something.
We can resubmit it?
Yeah, sure.
Just get
it
to board. No, that's something I want
to. Okay. So submit the right number.
It's the power of it.
I mean, the idea is that the natural decay is gonna be much, much faster than collision and excitation.
Well,
but then
again, I have which of the methods is correct.
I think you're on the right track, except that you're using the wrong things. I mean,
and
so G is
just a numerical.
G is a border of
numerical. Yeah, the same thing.
And
C will figure out to be zero.
So what is it? Your
so this is what you get when you.
Okay, so
numerical.
Let me just, so we're done here.
When you numerically integrate it.
Uh-huh.